You know, on behalf of all the leaders here in the house, I just want to say thank you. You know, thank you from the bottom of my heart for all that you give into this house and all that you give to people, your time, your energy, you know, the outreaches that you do, what you do in this house. And you know, that video was just, it was really good, wasn't it? It was really good. And it was really from the heart, our leaders speaking. And you know, this morning, I just want to talk about family. You know, the theme this morning is all about family. I've always believed in the power of family. You know, family provides unconditional love. It provides security. It provides support. It provides acceptance. You know, family, I believe, should always make you feel at home. And I hope you feel at home here today. Because this is a safe place. This is a place that we have created with God for you here today. And you know, there's a cliche that many of us know that you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And of course, that's right. We can't choose our family. But you know what? We can choose to make our friends, our family, our friends. That's what we can do. We can choose to make family our friends here. And I'm so grateful today, you know, for my mom and dad that are here in the audience today. I'm so grateful for my aunties that are here, Ailish and Marie and Charlie, my uncle. I'm so grateful for my husband that stands by me, my children that stand by me and push me forward to do the work of the kingdom of God. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for this extended family, us here, all of you here that are in my world. I'm so grateful to all of you that yous are my friends. And let me be your friend here today, because that's what I want to do. I want to be a friend, just like the way Jesus was a friend. You know, it tells us in the Bible where the first family originated from. It tells us the importance of family, and it tells us about the importance of children. It tells us in Genesis, from the beginning, when God created man, he said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for the man." This is God the creator. God the creator that created the universe, that he put the galaxies in place. God the creator says, "I will make a helper. I will make woman to come alongside man." And then he said that he will bless them. And he told them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And even after they fell into sin, God continued with his plan for families. And he even spoke prophetically of the salvation that would come through the seed of the woman. God says, I will make a helper, a companion, a woman, a wife for Adam. And this is where the first family originated from. And I just want to bring out 3 points, and I hope I get through them all. I will make the first family. I will make the first marriage. And I will make the first spiritual family. So how does God feel about families? You see, families are close to God's heart. You know, in America, they have what's called the first family. And it's made up of the President of the United States and the First Lady and their children. But this is not where the first family originated from. You see, our God spoke family into being. Our God spoke into existence by his power, Adam. From the dust of the earth, he took man and he formed man. And from Adam, he took a rib from his side when he put him asleep and he formed Eve. And this is where our first family comes from. Our God spoke with authority. Our God spoke with power. Why did God do this? God did this so that we, us here today, could be born back into the family of God. God loves us. God is for families. He's always been for families. And if you're single, if you're married, if you're a widow, if you're alone, if you have children, if you're without children, no matter what condition your family is in, or where you're at in your life, there's hope. There is hope. And this is something in the message for you here this morning. If you're without hope here today, it can be found in the family of God. And that's the good news. You see, our God is a father to the fatherless. He is a defender of the widow. His love to the family extends to when families are broken, when families are wounded. He designed marriage between man and woman. And he designed family where children grow up to know and love him and walk in his ways. Family is God's idea. And you know what? I was one of those kids that grew up in the 70s. I was born in 1973. And you know, in the 80s, there was things that we were forbidden to do when we lived at home. And maybe some of you can identify with some of this stuff in the Irish household. Who remembers leaving the immersion on? You know what? This had to be one of the worst crimes that you committed in the Irish household. You remember that, Mom and Dad? And then you'd get up and knock that immersion off. I can hear the pipes are rumbling. And this one, what about at the dinner table? You know, you are told, make sure you eat everything that's on that dinner plate. There was no such thing as an a la carte menu. It was one dish back then. Isn't that right, Joan? It was one dish, one pot. And if it was a pot of stew, you ate it. Or if it was a pot of coddle with the sausages and all that jazz in it, you still had to eat it. There was no such thing back then as leaving anything on your plate. And if you did, you were made feel guilty about it. You were in trouble. And then you got, there's kids in Africa starving. Oh, hello? And what about this one? Who remembers standing at the front door with your friends? And next of all, you'd hear the shout, I'm not heating the street. I don't own the gas company. Will you close that door? And this one, finally, Mass on a Sunday morning. You wouldn't even dream about skipping Mass on a Sunday morning. And your mom would come in and you were dragged up out of the bed. And you were told, get up, comb your hair, wash your face, and be downstairs in 5 minutes. And these are just some of the things that I remember growing up in the 80s. You know, every family has built a life with different core values where you make decisions for your family. Isn't that right? And you know, in Deuteronomy, it tells us that God told the Israelites to keep his commands. He told them, keep my commands in your heart and teach your children my ways. And many families are in trouble today. And we only have to look around. There's many broken families. There's many broken lives. And a lot of the time, it's been left up to the media. It's been left up to the schools to teach our children about how to cope in this world. I'm going to let my children decide about their own fate. I'm going to let my children decide when they get older if they want to follow God. And the problem is, while we are not teaching our kids God's way, the world is shoving them into all kinds of things. The world is shoving all kinds of worldly values down their throat. God is for families. And of all the ways God chooses to relate to us as people, he chose this through the language of family, where he created Adam and Eve. God orchestrated the first marriage. He told them there was things that they were forbidden to do. And although no family is perfect, God's model for the family is worth striving for. And I believe the number one requirement for a strong family commitment is that you are committed to your wife, that you're committed to your husband, that you're committed to your children, that you're committed to love one another and every member of the family and church family, that you are in this for the long haul. And you know, I mentioned a couple that we have here today, and that's Charlie and Marie. And I asked them a question the other night. I said, this is the question. How have you been committed for 51 years? What has kept you together in marriage for 51 years? You know what? This was the answer that I got. They said, we're best pals. We're best pals. And you know what? That said something to me. Best pals, that they're committed to sticking things out through the good and through the bad. They're committed to taking on each other's burdens. They're committed to taking on each other's sickness and things that come along with life. That there's no back door. That they've stuck this thing together. That they're like glue together. 51 years of marriage commitment. And I think that deserves a round of applause. You know, every part of the family and the family of God, we need to be glued together. We need to stick together. Really stick together. And we need to do this walk together. That we learn to talk to one another. That we learn to live with one another. That we learn to forgive one another. And that we learn to carry each other's burdens. That when I'm hurting, you're hurting. When I'm sick, that I come alongside or you come alongside me and we help each other. One of the most important parts of the church is the family. Being a part of the family of God is a great blessing. And if this is your first time here today, I just want to welcome you. You've come on a good day. For some grown up, we have had memories of family, good memories. And for others, there has been fractured memories. There has been wounds in our lives. And it tells us in Genesis, when the first sin entered, and how Adam and Eve allowed the first sin come into their family life. And from the overflow of that sin coming into their lives, it came into the human race. But God still presented himself as a father. Our God still presented himself as a father. He did not turn his back on Adam and Eve. And this got me thinking, everybody deserves to be cherished, loved, protected, valued. And if you have had an earthly father who met those needs, great. And if you didn't have an earthly father or mother who met those needs, God will. God will meet those needs. God has not forsaken you. God has not forgotten about you. You see, Jesus taught his followers to address God as Father. He said, address the Father as Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. You see, God's word says, I will never forget you, because his love towards us is that of a caring parent. Isaiah 49. You know, when I was a kid, we played a game called Rounders. I don't know what you called it on the south side, but on the north side, we called it Rounders. And this game that we played, you had a bat and you had a ball. And there was two teams and you were competing against each other. And there was four markings on the field or on the road. And when that ball would come, you'd be there ready, waiting to whack that ball. And when you would see it coming, you would whack that ball down the road or down the field. And the object of the game was that you made it to the first post without the other team trying to strike you out. But if you got a home run, and you got around all the four posts while you were on the pig's back, you actually won the game. And I think one of the greatest stories in the Bible of a home run is the family of the prodigal son. This boy had one of the greatest fathers a boy could ever have. But yeah, this boy wanted all his inheritance. He wanted all his wealth. He wanted all his money. And with a broken heart, the father gave in to him. With a broken heart, the father let the son go to an off far country. And when he was gone off, the boy, he squandered all his money. He squandered everything. And the boy glued himself to the ways of the world. And it took him to the depths of a pig pen. When he was in this pig pen, he was even eating what the pigs would eat. And he began to realize about his father. He began to realize about family. He began to realize about the hurt, the pain that he must have caused his father. And he began to realize, I would be better off going back to my father's household. I would be better off going back and serving my father, doing whatever needs to be done on the farm. Because this way of living is stinking. This way of living is wrong. When the prodigal son realized he had made wrong choices, he decided to head back home to the father and to his family. And the father sees him from afar, because this father was always waiting. This father was always looking out to see, is my boy coming home today? Is my boy near today? And you know, the Father in heaven is the same. He's looking out to see, is my daughter coming home today? Is my son coming home today? But the prodigal son was walking over the horizon. And when the father spotted him, he picks up his gown and he begins to run towards the son. And while he's running towards the son is rehearsing in his head his apologies. The son is rehearsing in his head, you know, Father, I've shamed you. Father, I'm unworthy. But when the father gets to the son, the father embraces him. The father throws his arms around him. The father puts a ring on his finger. The father begins to kiss him. The father puts a robe around him. And this boy got a home run. This boy made it to a home run. You know, this father didn't judge him. His father didn't scorn him. But his father embraced him with love. Embraced him with love. And this is what family means. And if you've come here today for the first time, I just want to welcome you home today. You see, family means there are times where all of us need forgiveness. That we need mercy, that we need to stick together like glue. And even when we don't feel like it, as a family before God, this is what I would like to do. That we honor one another, because this is best for us as a family. That we make this happen. You see, God spoke, I will make woman for man. And I believe that God is speaking today. And I believe God is saying that he wants us to make things happen, that we honor one another, that we cherish one another. You see, Jesus wants us to encourage one another by speaking well of each other and building each other up through fellowship, through studying God's word, through breaking bread together, and even coming here today and we're all going to have breakfast together. This is what God wants us to do. As a family, that we accept each other. You see, Jesus' word says, accept one another, love one another, that we accept people. But not that we accept when they do things wrong, but that we love on people, that we reach out to people and that we show them the ways of Jesus. As a family, we model forgiveness, that we turn away from our sin and repent, that we make this happen. We make a choice to say, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to repent of my sins. As a family, we keep learning discipline. God expects us to live a certain way to bring honor to his name. To be an honest worker. Honest with our money. And not expect to be blessed by God if we're not doing it right. As a family, we, his children, keep growing. that we grow in the knowledge of his word. As a family, God designed the church to be an extended family with many mothers, with many fathers, with many brothers and sisters. And God wants us to know who we are. That we help and support others. That we come alongside when we see someone struggling. When we see someone coming through the doors that doesn't even have a shirt on their back. That we come alongside and help. As a family, we are in this for the long haul. That we are committed to stick together like glue. That we make this happen. And I'm going to ask everybody to stand, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And if we could do that last song, Stand By Me. And I just want to declare a blessing over this church today, over you as family, over you as children, over you as an individual, over you as married couples, over you as a widow, over you if you're an orphan. If you're an orphan here today, I want to invite you into the family of God.